Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another crazy edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of Kings himself. I'm afraid to say what's on my mind tonight because I might get fired or rejected or suspended. I am the Hot Rod. On the phone lines, I have the man who should keep his hand to himself, who should stop groping people, who should stop being in the building as same as some ladies or guys. His name is?
Sean Black. And yes, I am still in the building right now.
But for now, please keep your hands to yourself. And as always, I think Amisha V is upset with me for my sexual comments on the show for the last few months. So either she's planning her revenge on me or sooner or later she's going to kill me. I don't know.
Of course. Yes, yeah. And we will do that live here on Blog Talk Radio the second it happens.
Of course. I need more listeners. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you ready to grope somebody? Are you ready to piss some people off?
The pissing people off stuff, yes. The groping stuff, I'm not going anywhere near that.
Well, it seemed like ever since we started the show a few years back, and I would start every show with a deja vu. It seems like we go through a trend of topics. It's continuing from week after week after week. And even though we try to do other topics, that trending still continues from cop killing to riots and racism and God knows what other topics that we have to talk about. Trump, of course. Now, the sexual assaults, as Sean said it earlier a couple of weeks ago, and I hate to admit when he's right, he's right. This is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. When we thought the story about to die down a little bit and be calm, things been popping left and right out of nowhere. Like, I'm getting alerts like crazy. I'm saying to Sean, like, Sean, who's next? Who's next? This was a shocker to me yesterday morning. I'm yelling at my kids to get them ready to school. I was preparing my kids to get ready for school. I have to be careful with my words now because I am on the air. I saw at the bottom of the screen, Matt Lauer got fired for NBC. So I Googled it. What happened to Matt Lauer was shocking to me. I should not be shocked by it because, you know what? As we discussed on last week's show, Charlie Rose, and Sean will tell you the list of more guys that have fallouts. But Sean, what happened about Matt Lauer? What is the latest fallout about him?
Well, apparently there was going to be a new story done, I believe, with The New Yorker. As we've known, The New Yorker was a magazine that had an investigation going into people within, I believe, either Hollywood or higher-ups that were doing or being accused of sexual assault or sexual harassment or sexual improprieties. The Charlie Rose story broke last week. That was kind of like a tip of the iceberg. The Matt Lauer story happened apparently a couple of years ago. If you remember, the Winter Olympics was in Sochi, and this essentially happened there. The woman that is accusing him of the sexual impropriety went to NBC, and apparently it wasn't initially believed or there wasn't enough evidence until the story broke. And then there was a little more evidence of something happening at NBC with trysts and certain stories here that had happened that became, I'm guessing, with enough evidence to have been proved enough to warrant a firing. We heard through the news stories of having affairs at the NBC studios, of having Matt Lauer having some sort of a room or in his office, a button to lock the door. He offered a sex toy to one of the workers at the place, and then said what he wanted her to do with the sex toy, things of that nature. What we're seeing now, and I'm going to put this here and frame it.
Well, don't put it on me, man. Don't put it on me.
I'm not
going to
put it on you,
this.
But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to call this the reckoning, because this has been a word I've heard around a lot the last couple of weeks. But this needs to be framed as the reckoning. The reason why I say that is it seems every 2 days or every 3 days there is a new name that pops up. We had the Matt Lauer fired from NBC. And, of course, as we all know, we're going to probably talk about this a little later on, but Donald Trump decided to put his 2 cents in the Matt Lauer firing and basically stated, and this is from his tweet, wow, Matt Lauer was just fired from NBC for inappropriate sexual behavior in the workplace. But when will the top executives at NBC and Comcast be fired from Andy Last's past? Andy Last is the president of NBC News and the news arm at NBC. I tell you, I'm not going to jump into the Trump part because that deserves its own complaining. But
his own show, another night.
Yes, exactly. What happens here is the dynamic of, and this is, as I just said, the reckoning, a pattern where these men think that they can pinch a woman on the butt, grab a breast, say something salacious on the work floor, and we've had a numerous amount of these things happen. It seems like the pattern sounds the same for a lot of the people that have been alleged or accused, and we're seeing lots of high-profile, powerful men losing their jobs.
Well,
Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, we had Russell Simmons just today after a second allegation popped up. Russell Simmons actually stepped down from all of his businesses that he's run. Def Jam, he has the HBO show, which is a deaf comedy. HBO was completely wiping his name from anything associated with him, and they're not doing any more projects with him at all. So it's continuing on, and this is something that needs to happen because this has to be a purging for this to clear up.
Well, someone sent me a text to ask on his show. It's kind of to continue on what you're saying. DJ Jerry, he wants to know, Matt Lauer was fired on today's show. There will be no man left standing in the media. There will be only females left on TV. I wonder why so many men have such a tough time controlling themselves, especially rich guys with a lot to lose. Why do you think that?
That happens because society, and has been ingrained probably since the 1700s when the British came over to colonize the United States in the original 13 colonies, that a woman's place in that mindset of that old chauvinistic way is that the male goes out and kills the animals for the family to eat, and the woman stays home and cooks and cleans and is the one that makes the babies, and she is to be seen and not heard. And that mentality has always filtered on through the decades, through the centuries, on and on and on and on, and probably earlier than that. And now we have become, as a people, males and females, have become much more nuanced. We've evolved in some instance. The only thing that has not seemingly evolved is the, as they used to say back in the 70s, the battle of the sexes. That has not evolved yet because men, in general, are still in a position of power. And when women have been belittled and have been told they can't, you can't vote because you're not smart enough, you don't have the thought process to pick an elected official, that changed years ago when women were given the right to vote. Women.
But to that concept, and to Matt Lauer, I'm glad that something happened. But as always, like when we heard the news, everybody jump on it. But we really don't know the whole story. We know part of the story. but we really don't know what really happened. It could be Matt and the victim's fault. We don't know. And we probably will never know because Matt is not going to tell his side of the story. And like I told my colleagues, no matter what happened to Matt Law, he still got paid until next year. You know, well, yes, he lost his job, one of his top paying jobs for the company at NBC, just like Charlie Rose for CBS. But guess what? Those rich men still got paid regardless.
Yes, they are rich. They have these huge contracts and they have huge homes. But at what cost is this going to have on a future in whatever they want to do? You can't just up and have sexual allegations put on you that may or may not be proven, but has been enough to get you fired. And then if all you know how to do is be a television on-air personality, or you are a journalist, and you have the skills, are you going to go? And that has been the thing.
But that's the problem I have right there, because it seems like every guy's getting fired for every single thing that happened two days, 10 years ago, whatever. Like, as you list the list of names of men that get fired nonstop, like, once again, the question is, who's next, and would there be anybody left? If everybody will bring up the past, Sean Black, if people will bring up the past about you, what you did 20 years ago, back in college or back in work, for me to fire you from this show? Please do.
Well,
I would love to do that.
See, this is where, as I stated before, there has to be a reteaching of what is appropriate in not only the workplace, but just in general. Because now you're going to have a lot of men that don't know whether flirting with a female is going to get them in trouble, whether saying something in particular that may offend a female would be an issue, or any combination of those. And that has to be looked at. I think when you grow up, and you, especially if you're taught in a particular way, males and females have an idea what line you don't cross. Now, we know.
No.
I said
that
to a certain
complete
degree.
I'm
not saying of all of it. There are some idiots out there that don't. But I think
Don't get me started, Sean Black.
In general, I think there are some lines that people try to push or try to push as far as they can, but there probably are some lines that the majority of males and females know not to cross. What we're seeing now is a blowback of those individuals that care whether or not they get caught pushing past those lines. This is what you're seeing now.
Yeah, but don't you think there's some type of money involved, some type of scam going on at the same time? You tell me all these people, like, okay, Matt Lauer, boom, he got fired. Now all of a sudden there's two more stories come up. I mean, all of a sudden everybody have more than two stories coming out about the same person for what they did 5, 10 years ago. So before we start on the show, what do you tell me about sexual harassment?
Sexual harassment right now is that hot button topic. And as we've talked about before, so many of these different celebrities right now are getting caught for something that they may have done years ago. My thought process is, and this is something the conversation we had just before we went on the air, if you have a questionable past when it comes to females, whether it being something that you may have done in the past that either people know about or don't know about, you do not have the right to speak on. Case in point.
Why?
I'll give you this. A case in point. Geraldo Rivera, who came to the defense of Matt Lauer, and we know 74 years old, he's been in the media for over 40 years, worked locally in the New York area before he got his own talk show. He came to the defense of Matt Lauer in this tweet, which he got ripped apart on, and this is what he said. Sad about Matt Lauer, great guy, highly skilled and empathetic with guests and a real gentleman to my family and me. This is the quote that got him in trouble. News is a flirty business, and it seems like current epidemic of sex harassment allegations may be criminalizing courtship and conflating it with predation. What about Garrison Keillor? This is his response to defending Matt Lauer. And the problem is he's throwing in the excuse that the news business is quote-unquote flirty, where if you are in the news business, if you're a journalist, you work on a news program or in a newsroom, you're going to inevitably flirt with somebody. So that should be looked at as normal, when that is not always the case. And if you are a female in the work in the business in a newsroom where there are a lot of people around, I'm pretty sure not every female wants to be quote unquote flirted with or saying something cute sexually that may seem offensive or disgusting in their eyes.
But okay, I semi disagree with you because I understand what you're trying to say, but if someone have a past of sexual harassment and they have the right to talk about it in seminars to other people, but people can learn from their mistakes. Nobody's perfect. If Matt Lauer, 5 years from now, decided to talk about his experience and everything, other generations or other people can learn from their mistakes. Like, listen, I had it good. I was making XYZ amount of money. And look at me now. It's not worth it for such a black woman. We need to respect our partners, our co-workers or whatever.
But that's in a different context. This is in a what you're bringing up is in a future context. What I'm talking about is somebody basically getting on the pulpit and shaking their finger in the face of the accuser when they've done something in the past and have not been absolved of their own past. That's what I'm talking about. What you're saying makes sense. I completely agree with what you're saying. If you're trying to do it in a way that is to warn others of behavior, look at what I did. Don't be like what I did. Don't be like me. Like the series, like if you remember the Scared Straight specials that they used to show back in the 70s and 80s, where they would have teenagers go to prison and talk to prisoners and have the prisoners talk to the kids so that they don't end up in jail. That's that same kind of thought process. And what you're saying is in that context. But in the context that I'm bringing up, the ones that don't have anything revealed, that have the quote-unquote skeletons in their closet, but then are shaking their fingers in the faces of the people that are it will be like Matt Lauer jumping in Donald Trump's face and saying, shame on you for what you did, and then finding out, look at what he did. He did something just as bad.
All right, K-Dog, I will get to you in a minute, K-Dog, but we have 314-38, you're on the air.
You know, the thing that gets me with these allegations and the persecution, it always go against the male. Let me give you an example. How about the times that you've had politicians that have had strange affairs with women outside their marriage? Like John Edwards, for instance. No one criticized the woman for her part that she takes in the affair. They always criticize the male, seemingly. And then when you look also at all those teachers, and they got a web page on it with page after page after page, and I'm not talking about things that happened in the 1910s and 1930s. This is very recent. These teachers having sex with these boys in the classroom, students. Never hear anything about that.
Okay.
But now
I'm sorry,
you hear these. Now you hear these things. And look at the one with Roy Moore. When this 50-year-old woman was supposed to have been 14. And listen to the news how it says Roy Moore was having a sexual affair with a 14-year-old girl. Well, when people look at Roy Moore today, that's what they see. Nothing is mentioned about that happened decades ago. And also, the testimony that the woman, the girl who's now 50, gives is that, oh, I would never touch a man's penis, especially an erect one. What kind of mess is that?
K-Dog, would you like to answer that?
What kind of mess is the last allegation when the woman was supposed to have been in his car? And she said he reached over and locked the door. I couldn't get out. Well, duh. That button is supposed to keep people from the outside coming in. All you had to do was pull the handle, and the door would have opened, and you could have left. Those are lies. And
all
one
right,
other
well,
thing, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
When females are found to have lied, they should face some severe punishments. Jail time, imprisonment, lawsuits. Like the one girl that caused the young high school athlete, the football player, to miss out on being drafted because he had to go to jail. And later on, after the police checked this girl's Facebook, where she was talking to friends about what she'd done.
Okay. Thank you. So, Kato, what do you have to say about his statement?
Well, first of all, I guess I got to say this is that, so technically, what you're saying that you're blaming the women for, you're saying that these women, are you basically saying that these women are lying?
Well, there's no proof. And also, why is it that, for instance, like when you have these men that's getting caught up and plastered all over the news for these estranged love affairs, you never blame the female. She knew that the man was married.
Yeah, but true. But wasn't the female
true,
that made the complaint?
That, but you know, but one thing for sure is that there's also two sides to the story because I'll say this.
Correction. Sorry, K-Dog. Correction. There's three types. There's three. There are three types to the story. His, her, and the truth.
Yeah, basically. You know, as a man, one thing for sure, let me just start by saying this, is that, like, for my job, we had a sexual harassment course. Like, it was both men and women in the room. And they brought up a whole lot of things that were going on in the office, like the do's and don'ts. Like, for example, like for me as a man, I work in a business environment. There is no way that I should be making any type of advancements towards a woman that makes her feel uncomfortable, whether it is verbal or nonverbal. That's one of the things that they talked about. They said, you know, you got to be careful. You don't sit there and be aggressive towards the female. Because a female will have every right to go to the higher authorities and make a complaint about it. In other words, even if the female is wearing something that is like let's just say a short skirt, they tell you straight up that you shouldn't be making any type of comments or making the female feel any type of way because she has every right to go ahead and complain about what you did. And meanwhile,
but you
have a lot to
question
answer for.
About females making stories. You cannot believe every story that you hear on the news.
Okay.
That's what he's saying.
There's,
you know, like, Manlord, Charlie Rose admit something happened where they both, well, everybody admits some of the stories are
They admit it. Right, and you know what? To prove that it was fabricated, you know, like you said, Hot Rod, there's three sides to a story. There's one side, there's the other side, and then you have the in-between is the truth. And the truth does come out. Now, like the caller's blame it, are you, so technically you're blaming the female. What is the female role in this? Well, I'm saying this. As a man, you have to understand that a wrong is a wrong. You understand what I'm saying? A wrong is a wrong. If you're the one being aggressive towards that female and that female feels uncomfortable, it's up to you as a man to say, hey, wait a minute, hold on, let me just stop for a second. And just let her out the car. Like what Sean said earlier, it's been a well-known fact that especially men of power have always felt the need to be dominant over a female. Now here we are in 2017. You still have many of us who still have that kind of mentality when it comes to the way we react to females, especially in places of business. You understand what I'm saying? So with that,
I hear what you're saying, but you're not referring to what I said. I said that when you have, and what you said, I understand. But there's other cases, like when you have somebody, in this case it was North Carolina Senator John Edwards, was having a strange relationship with a woman by the name of Hunter.
Yeah, I
know
that.
And his wife, yeah. So why come they didn't also criticize Hunter for her participation?
Hold on. I have to give that one to Sean. Sean?
Yeah. Well, what I remember of the story, because this was the person that John Edwards had the affair with while his wife was sick with cancer, she got railed on as well. And we know, see, this is the thing. We see these situations happen where the male gets into an affair or the male does something. And of course, he deserves scorn, et cetera, et cetera. What you're wondering about is why is it that the media isn't going
after the female
hard at the female in the situation? The reason why is because it has always happened in that sense. When a powerful male gets into any, I guess, an affair or whatever is the case, depending on who the male is, what kind of power he has, and unfortunately what the woman looks like and their age in the eyes of the media will determine who gets the scorn and who gets absolved. Usually the female gets looked at as the harlot, the scarlet letters put on her, and all of the other things. Now, I'm not saying that whatever any female getting into an affair with a married man, that's between those two. And obviously, if they are going into this tryst or whatever is the case, knowing what they're going into is wrong, they're complicit, both of them. That's not the issue. The issue here is that there are way too many males that do these kinds of things, like what John Edwards did, or like all of the other males that I had just spoken about earlier, get into that mode of doing it once and trying to do it again and again and again because they can get away with it. And it has to be made safer for women in the workplace, irregardless of who initiated what, when, or where, that in the workplace, that behavior is not condoned. And a woman should be able to go to the workplace and feel safe to be able to do her job without something happening, and if she blows the whistle, having the fear of losing her job or her livelihood based on that. It's like the sword of Damocles being hung over a person's head. It's like, you know, if you do say something, I'm going to drop the sword right on your head, and then what are you going to do? And that is the power that has happened over many, many, many decades in all of these situations, and that's why you see all of these powerful men getting the comeuppance.
Okay, and I'm sorry. Excuse me, I gotta give it to Phil now. Phil's been winning for a while. Phil, what do you like to add?
You know, as someone that works in a business, we all know where I work. I work in a pharmacy. I'm basically the only male technician in there, not counting the two male pharmacists that work in there. But as the only male technician, if I would do any such thing, I would get stomped on and then fired right in the heartbeat.
Yeah, but, okay, you say that, going back to Sean's point, Phil, and to everybody else, yes, if that happened to if any of us, and I'm not too sure about the caller, if we did any of that, yes. But we talk about, like Sean said, men and power. It's a big difference. Why do you think Harvey Weinstein and guys like that got away with it for a very long time? Money and power. Us, we're nothing for the most part compared to them. We don't have money to get good lawyers if something happened to us.
Well, you know, excuse me, Hot Rock, for interrupting, but I'm just going to say this with the whole, you see what you just said, men in power? this is what is going on. And I was having this discussion today, as a matter of fact, with a friend of mine. And it's like this. Listen, put up or shut up. Here's what I'm paying you. You're going to keep your mouth shut. You get to do whatever. You get to keep your job. You get to do whatever. I didn't do anything to you.
Okay,
and
but
you know
well,
what it is.
But to go
yeah,
back to the caller earlier, when are we going to hear a woman being charged with sexual harassment? We all be hearing.
You're not
going to
hear it.
Like women.
No, because
like women,
you know what it is. Don't forget. This is where it lies in society. Like Sean said earlier, when it comes to the men, remember, men are seen as power, especially men of power. They could do whatever they want, but yet you'll hardly hear. There have been cases, especially what the caller said about the teachers, like these
yeah,
teachers that have been making
but
moves on young boys.
There's a lot of females in power, too. Not the
no,
men,
yeah,
men and women.
No. Let me give you all another example. Look at the cases where you have men having to pay child support for children that are even biologically theirs. The court make them pay. Look at Ezekiel Elliott, where the girl said, they're going to believe me because I'm white. They're not going to believe you.
Okay,
so
now you thought
the men, well, yeah, it is. I mean, we could talk about that, too. But, I mean, that's the truth. Women get the thumbs up. Look at Mike Tyson. Had consensual sex with the woman all night. Next morning, she wake up, ask him to walk her down the street. And she didn't walk. He didn't feel like it. She gets down. Next thing you know, she's hollering rape.
Now,
okay,
to your point, to see women of power, because I'm branching this out to anybody in power. But specifically speaking, it's men in power. But if you to allude on your point. There was a movie that came out way back when, and I think you may know about it. It's called Disclosure. It had Demi Moore and Michael Douglas. And it was kind of similar to where you're coming from, where Michael Douglas was working for a powerful woman who was basically sexually harassing him. She put her wilds on him to have an affair, and I believe his character was married, and he decided
yeah,
no. And she did everything in her power in the
to
movie
destroy him,
to make his life a living hell,
yes,
including trying to get him sued. Now,
yeah,
do things like that happen with females in power? I'm not sure. Could it happen? I'm pretty sure it could, because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So it doesn't make a difference who you are. But I'm not going to conflate the issue of saying it's just, you know, why is it only males and then you don't hear about females? In this particular situation, we're talking about males in power because as a whole in this country, there are many, many, many more men in positions of power that can hang it over a female than any female could ever hope to have. And that's just the truth right now.
How do you know about that? How do you know that for sure? Isn't times changing now? I'm like, and you know what? I'm going to transition this to the next topic, to Trump. But how are you sure about that for sure, Sean Black? Then we go to Trump.
I'm sure about that right now because look at how many cases of sexual harassment are popping up against men now.
Well,
because
of the media is portraying that way. We don't know that for a fact. We cannot believe everything what the media tell us. But after all, it is part of fake news.
Oh, so in other words, you don't believe anything that's going on with the media now.
No.
You
know that for a long time I don't believe it. And you know personally why. I cannot get into that. I don't believe everything in the media. And that's why most people like us go to social media. Even social media itself has become more and more fake news every day. And talk about fake news.
Then you add the element of Gloria Aldrich, that female lioness, and what she does, I mean, it's very, very suspicious. She goes after Bill Cosby. She went after Tyson. She went after, you know, she represented these women against Roy Moore. It's a history there.
She's making a fortune right now with all these cases. That's a fact.
And really, these cases that these women are bringing up, you can't – the male cannot question his accuser. Like the – I believe it's the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guaranteed their protection to do so because statute of limitation is up on these. All they're doing is running a smear campaign, and somebody or something is behind it.
Okay. But I need to get to the Trump situation. Sean Black, what's your beef with Trump? You got 3 minutes. Go right ahead.
Necessarily. All right, Trump.
Go ahead, bro.
It's the fact that Trump has basically, I don't know if he's just losing control of what he wants to do this with Congress or whatever is the case, or trying to pass the tax cut bills or trying to get that passed. He seems to have lost his mind on Twitter. He's been going through a lot. With the Monday, he went on, he was having the meeting with the Navajo Code talkers and had a press conference with those people in letting light for that. And then we have an Andrew Jackson picture of a former president on the wall there, who we know was part of the Trail of Tears, which was an abomination against Native Americans way back when. In that entire conversation, where he brought up the derogatory name that he used toward Senator Warren and calling her Pocahontas. Now, Native Americans that had listened to that know that particularly was not used as some sort of joke. That was used as a slur. So that's one thing. Number two, Tuesday, Trump basically went back on the whole Obama birther situation in private through the New York Times, is basically saying that in private, talking to other people within his circle, he's saying that he still doesn't really believe that Obama is born in the United States. Even though he made an apology during the campaign stating otherwise, he seems like he's reneging on the apology. Then he's also stated that the Access Hollywood tape, that's not his voice. So we don't know about that. Wednesday, he went and had the crazy tweets that happened, where he retweeted three videos that were sent by a British anti-Muslim right-wing website. And basically, the White House is saying that those videos were brought up, whether they were fake or not, was to prove that there's a lot of hate in the Muslim world, and it has to be brought to light. That's a kind of a dangerous precedent because it goes against all of the things that President Trump talked about as far as fake news, in essence saying that the ends justify the means. You can't have it both ways if you're going to say, well, even if the videos are fake, it proves my point, but yet you're railing on other people saying that because I don't believe what you're saying, that news is fake. So,
okay,
which is...
I got to send this to the caller now. Since I know you're a huge Trump supporter. What do you think about what Sean Black said? Do you agree with any of it, or you think Donald Trump is doing his thing? Caller?
I supported and voted for Donald Trump because of his issues, his campaign issues. This stuff about Pocahontas is nothing more than a fad. There's a city in Iowa called Pocahontas. It's school district. It's the Pocahontas school district. High school Pocahontas. High school team, the Indians. You got rehab facilities in Baton Rouge called Pocahontas. So
Elizabeth Warner as Pocahontas. You don't find that as like an insult?
No, I don't find it an insult. But she'd turn around and call him something. You know, the thing I like about Trump, he's an alpha male. He's not no pushover like we see so many men nowadays are. If you come and bring it to him, he's going to give it back. But as I said before, it's his issues that I voted for him for. I think he's had a right to tell Britain what's going on in the country there that people complain about. I like his tax reform, his immigration reform.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You like his tax reform? even though he really
like
the rule.
Oh,
yes, I like his tax reform. I was looking to go from 35% paying business taxes down to 20% and hopefully 15%. When you're a married couple filing jointly, your exemption go from 12.7 to 25.4. Who don't like that?
Phil, do you have an answer for that?
It is what it is. I mean, we know what Donald Trump, when he started his campaign, a lot of things he said were right. I mean, you know, NAFTA wasn't the greatest. It was probably one of the biggest mistakes that Bill Clinton ever did, and we're paying for it. But the thing is, Donald Trump doesn't know how to. I don't think at times he stops to think of what he's saying.
He voted for Donald because of the issues of what he's standing up for, not what he says.
You know,
Donald Trump is, he's not a good speaker. We all know that already. He's not Obama.
A terrible speaker. He's a terrible speaker.
Here's the thing. Donald Trump is a businessman. That's what he grew up in. He grew up in a business. You know, he took a loan from his father and so forth, and made it what it is today. The man is a businessman, and that's how he thinks. And a lot of people, when he came in, when he said he was running for president and won, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people were afraid of him because he was coming out here telling it like it was, and they are afraid of him.
That's what it is.
All the people in D.C., uh-oh, we're in trouble now. We can't get our money and keep it for ourselves, you know. He's telling it like it is. Granted, he goes overboard.
Yeah. But, Takedo, are you afraid with Trump and the North Korea missile, quote-unquote, crisis right now?
Listen, all I got to say is that when you're sitting there fanning the flames of war, you're going to get got. Now, that's what's going on now with all this craziness with North Korea. We're not at war yet. But however, when it comes to Donald Trump, and I've said this before and I have every right to say it, he's not a politician. Think like a politician before you strike. Think about the consequences before you do anything. Now, I've said this before, he's not a politician. You shouldn't be sitting there insulting the president of another country. Even if the president of the other country is your enemy, you still got to think diplomatic, no matter what. And Donald Trump does not think diplomatic at all when it comes to this thing with Korea.
I don't think that guy's nuts altogether with.
Yeah, he is.
I think he is. Well, first place, the U.S. Constitution requirements for being a president says nothing about how you speak or that you have to be a politician. Just like to be a Supreme Court judge, you don't have to be a lawyer, or a federal judge, you don't have to be a lawyer. Donald Trump does use diplomacy. He told Kim, if you do this, you're going to get the hell beat out of you. Furthermore, I mean, what else? I'm not worried about career. You could take out career in 6 hours.
Man,
there is no problem.
As far as I'm concerned.
And another thing, real quick, Congress has to declare the war. If it's a war, if Congress don't fund it, where it goes, no place.
Congress is not even supporting them because they think they're like, what the hell is he doing?
Well, we're talking about how it's supposed to work.
Yes.
But they're even looking at him like he's crazy. Anyway, Sean, go ahead and speak, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Sean.
I'm just trying to figure out
The more you try to figure out Sean Black, it'll be 2040, okay? Don't try to figure things out, okay? Let's go.
Oh, man.
I don't know what our president is either strategizing, what he's trying to do, what his plan is, but it doesn't seem like there is any game plan that we are privy to that ends in any diplomacy or any diplomatic ending. of this ending diplomatically. And the reason why is there's no precedent from this president yet that is what the case is. When you can go to the UN and basically get into a pissing contest with somebody who is just as the opposite side of what people are looked at as crazy, because most people that are against Trump think that he's not really mentally stable. Most people also look at Kim Jong-un in the same light. So when those two people are getting into it, and we know that there are missiles and ICBMs and all the other things that are happening, as you stated, caller, true, the United States could probably go into North Korea and wipe North Korea out. The problem is South Korea is an ally to the United States. And if something happens to North Korea, then you've got the potential for North Koreans to become refugees in South Korea and retaliation in that sense. So there are always these things that can happen. The proper way to do things may not be the way that this president will operate when the chips are on the table. And I don't think anybody that is that has either looked at Trump in that light and is wondering, with all of the things that he's been going through as far as the sexual harassment stuff and then the stuff that he does on Twitter and all of the things that he said to rile up racial, the racial strife that's been going on, and all of those things that are involved are distractionary to the people that don't think he's going to do something diplomatic to make sure this thing ends peacefully.
Okay, I have to go to the next topic, but I want to give it to the caller before I let you go.
I have not seen. I've asked people, show me where Trump's a racist, and I'm an African American. I would know what it looks like for real, and nobody's been able to show me. I can't see where he's riled up, quote unquote, the racist. The comment he made in South Carolina when he said both sides was at fault, when you had one side that's coming out pro not to take down the statue of an American soldier who fought in American wars, which, by the way, happened one to be the American Civil War. Then you had the other side that was antagonizing them. So, yes, both sides was at fault.
Okay.
Oh, so you're saying that you support the fact that this racist had every right to run into the crowd the way he did?
No, that was a criminal. He done a criminal thing. I didn't say he had a right to do that.
Okay, well, Corey, thank you so much. I have to go to one more topic. Tune in next week. I like you came up with very good strong points tonight, and I like it so much. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Tune in next time.
Thank you.
All right. Excuse me, guys. You know, I got something stuck in my throat. And no, watch your mouth, Sean.
I didn't even say anything.
Hey, Sean. Maybe we should talk about the topic I texted you about on Monday night, if you know what I mean.
Oh, man. guys, quiet for 1 minute. I mean, this is between Phil and I. I got something to say. I'm dedicating the last 8 minutes to this. I have something to say about sports, about the New York Giants quarterback, Eli Manning.
Don't get me started on that. Hold on, guys. But Hot Rod, go right on ahead.
Thank you so much. Let me start, then I'll give it to Phil. As everyone in the sports world know, Eli Manning will be benched for the first time in his 14-year career in the New York Giants, and everybody's uproar about it for different reasons. I have mixed emotions about this. As you guys know, we are true diehard Giants fans. I understand, unlike Sean and everybody else, business is business. I have no problem benching Eli Manning, because I know they're desperate right now. They're 2-9. They can't get their rights together. I'm sure Sean and Phil and K-Dog will explain that the Giants are garbage at 2-9. I did not like the way the Giants handle the benching of Eli Manning. I think that what pissed off a lot of people, like, you have to bench someone, we don't like it, but we understand it. But how you go from Eli Manning to Geno Smith?
Wow.
It made no sense. Instead of trying a new kid, Andy Webb is his name, I think.
Davis Webb,
thank you.
Yeah.
You go to Geno Smith, Mr. Hothead. But to give credit to Geno Smith, he does deserve a second chance in life and in football, because you know what? Everybody, I do believe in that. by the same time, and New York Giants want to start fresh, want to, you know, think, try and put pieces together. You go from Eli Manning, the man that gave you, that broke his back for this organization, that gave him two Super Bowls, two MVPs, to Geno Smith. It's like me going from my number one vodka to the cheap vodka because, for no reason. It doesn't make sense at all, and I'm sure a lot of people are uptight about it. A lot of people are upset about benching Eli, but you know what? As someone said on ESPN, football is a very cold business. We could love you for 45 minutes, and then in the next 15 minutes of the game, we hate you. Because it's all about the money. We don't care what you've done for the team. It's like, what have you done for me lately? And unfortunately, Eli Manning records proved in the last two seasons. It's not been all that, but I'm sure, once again, Sean would tell why of injuries. He have no receivers. He have nobody on the team. But, Phil, do you blame Eli Manning for the mess that's going on right now as an audit, or do you think Eli should be a better leader throughout this whole mess?
Well, here's the thing. You cannot blame, you know, we can't blame Eli for the whole, for this whole last season. It's the team as a collective whole. Our three best wide receivers, all injured. No protection for the quarterback, none whatsoever. He was not getting the offensive protection like he was getting last year. Now, as far as this whole thing with the benching, I could see it half and half. The thing is, the Giants were 2-9. And if you're management, you want to see what the future holds right now. You're 2-9. We're not going to the playoffs. Yes, at this point, we need to, you know, let's see what the future holds for us. But given the history with Eli Manning and what he has done all these years for us, this could have been handled a different way. What should have been done is management, you know, from John Mara to the head coach and whatever, say, okay, here's the deal. Eli, would you mind if we sat you out this game? I think the time has come. We got to look at the future. Would you mind us start the mentoring process and groom the next quarterback? Now, Geno Smith, as far as he goes, the Jets drafted him out of West Virginia, and already he was thrusted into the spotlight, which should never have even happened. The Jets didn't even have anybody to mentor him, and he was put in an environment with Rex Ryan and some of the other idiots in that organization, and that's why it is what it is with Geno Smith. He was not mentored the right way, at least in the Giants organization, with Eli, who's shown he can be a good leader, he's a good sport. Yes, Eli can maybe help mentor Geno Smith into maybe being a quarterback, you know, for the Giants down the road until the real future steps up.
And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. Hold on. I'm not going to lie. I forgot Geno Smith was with the Giants. I'm like, ooh, Geno Smith? He still plays? Oh, gosh. Where he came from. But go ahead, Sean.
This entire situation, if they wanted to do this, as you stated earlier, if they're trying to say, okay, we're 2-9, we're going to build the team up, we got to see what Davis Webb can do. Davis Webb has been inactive for every game this season, basically being a third stringer quarterback, not being on the field at all. 6'4", 230 pounds, big, strong guy, really good arm. Okay, fine, we can live with that. We got to see what you got if that's the case. That would not be an issue here in this entire argument if they, one, came to Eli before the Thanksgiving game and said, at some point, we want to see what the young guy can do. Number two, they didn't have Coach McAdoo come up and do this. Because we all know McAdoo, over the last 2 years, has been looked at as an absolutely abhorrent coach. This is the same coach that threw Eli under the bus every time something wrong happened with the team, but didn't have enough gall to step up to Odell Beckham. He didn't have enough guts to talk about the team when they went last year before the playoff game about the whole boat instance. None of that stuff happened. Eli Manning this year has had his wide receivers, his total complement of wide receivers of Marshall and Beckham and Sterling Shepard, a total of 93 plays. They have 26 in rushing. They have no running game. They have no offensive line. And last year's defense, which was what was got them into the playoff, was really what was the impetus for the 11-5 season last year, has been completely riddled with injuries this year. So what you're basically saying is that all of this is right now, and true, Eli has not played well, but I wouldn't play well either if I had no running game and no receivers to throw to. Now, if you're going to move on, you do it in a classier way than what they did. And what the organization did was, one, throw Eli under the bus. Two, Eli showed the class that he has always shown with this team. And number three, what you're doing now is you're saying, okay, Geno Smith is going to give you a better shot at winning on Sunday against the Raiders than Eli. And we know what Geno Smith is. Geno is just as mobile in the pocket as Eli. He's never been a mobile quarterback, even going back to his West Virginia days. This is what you are faced with now, and it is a completely ugly situation now, and it's, it just blew up in their face.
I got to give it to Cato now. Cato, do you still see Eli two more seasons as a Giant or someone else? Or do you think Eli still got it? You got 2 minutes left.
Well, he's lost it as of late, like just like what Sean says. It's like this. The Giants have a great defense, but Eli has nobody to pass the ball to, basically. He has no one there. And I don't see him staying with the Giants very long. I don't see it happening. I could be wrong. I could be right. But I definitely don't see it happening.
Quickly, Phil, do you still see Eli as a Giant or someone else?
You know, the way things are going, probably not. He'll probably, if anything, end up in Jacksonville. And I'm sure Tom Coughlin will welcome him back with open arms.
Think about this. They fired Coughlin last year and said that he was the problem, yet they kept his coaching staff on. The same issues that what Coughlin was charged with are the same issues that the Giants are going through the last 2 years. You use that and find out where you think the Giants are going now and why they're in the situation they're in now.
Do you see Eli in Denver? Does like his brother. But they need a quarterback, too.
That's a possibility, but it's going to be hard because you got cap room that you got to deal with. Eli's got 2 years, and I think I got $43 million owed to him. If Denver can run some sort of a trade, I don't think that's going to happen. But at some point, they're probably going to cut him. I can't see Eli being back with the team at the end of this season. I just don't see it.
Because they didn't slap him in the face.
I do not see Eli coming back, but I do see him going somewhere else, but more of a playoff contender team, not those teams that's like 2-9 or 0-16. I don't see him going to Miami Dolphins, no, or the Chicago Bears. The Jaguars, maybe a good chance, but other than that, no. And it's funny, if Tom Brady was in the same situation, but he's 40 years right now, 40 years old right now, do you think New England or Bill Belichick would throw him underneath the bus for what he did for that organization?
No.
But Belichick is also a different coach in the fact that he will tell you how he feels to a degree about the talent. He does that with everybody. Nobody is above the law. If you stink, you stink. If you're good, you're good. But he will only give you so much praise, and he will give you so much scorn if you're bad. That's
Well, Sean Black, Phil Fisher, and K-Dog, all three of you guys do stink, and you need to stop groping me. Ladies and gentlemen, please, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the Hot Rod with Sean Black, K-Dog, and the Phil the Fishman Fisher. Guys, thank you so much for another great show, and tune in probably next Thursday, I said. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all Eli Manning.
Yours.
Eli Manning, right? Go figure.
Eli Manning.
Oh, man.
Good night, everybody.
Gentlemen, have a good night. Hey. And be safe.
Good night, guys.
And Phil.
Yo.